KTO with FM, San Francisco, wishing you a very happy and prosperous 1964. Coyle and Sharp on the loose, and the way we're beginning 1964 is to look back to 1963 and bring you some of the highlights. Some of the very best of the Coyle and Sharp episodes with you, odd and sundry members of the public. And some of you not so odd and not so sundry, too. It's 9 o'clock, and we'll be back with another Coyle and Sharp episode right after Mr. Como sings Keep It Gay. Oh, there's a good one.
Keep it gay, keep it light, keep it fresh, keep it fair. Let it bloom every night, give it room, give it air.
Keep your love a lovely dream and never wake it. Make it happy and be happy as you make it. Let it sing like a nightingale in May. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away. Take it easy and enjoy it while you take it.
Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it
Keep it fresh, keep it fair.
Let it bloom,
let it bloom. Every night,
every night,
give it room, give it air. Keep your love a lovely dream and never wake it. Make it happy and be happy as you make it.
Let it sing like a nightingale in May. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away.
Take it easy and enjoy it while you take it.
Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it gay.
2 minutes after nine, the KTO weather forecast for Northern and Central California fair tomorrow and Friday, except for light rain, likely Eureka and Mount Shasta northward on Friday, and fog in the San Joaquin Valley. For the Bay Area, generally fair for the next couple of days. The low tomorrow morning, 36 to 46, and tomorrow's high, 50 to 57. The winds northwest, 8 to 18 miles per hour. Don't be a slave to the morning paper habit. Don't be a slave to anything, for that matter. Get today's news today. The News Call Bulletin is the only San Francisco newspaper that brings you today's news today. The News Call Bulletin is the only San Francisco newspaper publishing complete closing stock reports minutes after the market closes. In addition to local, national, and international happenings, the News Call Bulletin brings you a brilliant galaxy of famous reporters and columnists. Guy Wright is exclusive in the News Call Bulletin. Paul Spiegel, likewise, is exclusive in the News Call Bulletin. Jack Rosenbaum is exclusive in the News Call Bulletin. And so are Arthur Kaler, Walter Winchell, Ann Landers, and Max Friedman. All exclusive in the News Call Bulletin. Make the News Call Bulletin your daily reading habit. KGO is a radio station.
Well, heavens to Betsy, who would have thought it?
Well, not so long ago, in the year 1963, a pilgrimage was made by two gentlemen, sometimes known as Coyle and Sharp, and sometimes known as Noge and Palak, to the University of California. As Noge and Palak, they appeared on the UC campus and were introduced as Bugravian folk singers. In fact, they did a beautiful job of putting the audience on. It wasn't until they were let in on the joke and howled with laughter that the audience was discouraged from believing that perhaps this was the most authentic ethnic folk singing group since, as our producer says, since the Apache Indians. Here they are now. Noge and Palak.
Their names are Noge and Palak, and they're from Bukravia. Their ancestors are from Rijak, Iceland. And they're here for their first time in America and have recorded with Warner Brothers. And now I'd like to present to you Noge and Palak.
Uh, Vicente Thost a Mancho Terras. Che la puanta, che la moana, ha la pasa, di da bulla.
Tu ma tento re sei te che.
Ha 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 ha, che ma la to, che ma la to, che la to.
Ma ha 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 ha, re sa dol volia
te. So,
re to to,
na ka. Now for a final song, we give you Keisha Na, but the sun no longer shines. Blo pa na,
te beko la seda,
ya malate ya tala, la
re sa ka te ko,
la la
ne sa ro.
Ladies and gentlemen, they'll be back with you in a minute. I have a special announcement to make about these, about Nojin Palach. I don't know how to break this to you, but Nojin Palach are really Jim Coyle and Mal Sharp, who have just recorded a record for Warner Brothers called The Absurd Imposters. And I...
there they are, The Absurd Imposters, Coyle and Sharp, Nojin Palach, call them what you will, but there they were. The same two guys. And some of the best of 1963. 6:30 after 9, Jim Moore here with Coyle and Sharp this night and all 6 Monday through Saturday every week on KGO. Golly, I thought I'd escaped this. Do you remember the College of Musical Knowledge? Would you like to forget it? Kay Kaiser, the old professor, Sully Mason.
Come out and play with me.
Little Audrey and her playmates.
Oh, playmates, come out and play with me and bring your dollies three. Climb up my apple tree, look down my ring spell, slide down my cellar door, and we'll be jolly friends forevermore. Now she couldn't come out and play in such a sunny day. With tearful eyes, she breathed a sigh, and I could hear her say, I'm sorry to play, mate. I cannot play with you. My dollies have the flu. Boo, boo, hoo, boo. Ain't got no rain barrel. Ain't got no cellar door. But we'll be jolly friends all forevermore.
Thank you.
Kay Kaiser and Playmates. It is now 10 minutes after 9 at KGO, and this is Jim Moore.
These two exciting stars, Yul Brynner, George Chakiris, clash in the world's great untold adventure, Kings of the Sun, in color by Deluxe and Panavision, released through United Artists. Now, a lost world becomes a new world of adventure.
Kings of the Sun, a picture not to miss, is now in its second big week at these East Bay theaters. The Automovies Fremont, the Orinda Theater, Orinda, the Stadium Drive-In Theater in San Leandro, and at the Piedmont Theater in Oakland. 53 in San Francisco right now, and a weather forecast for the Bay Area. Fair weather for the next couple of days and very little temperature change. And, of course, we're doing that backward look over one shoulder or the other. I don't know which one's the lucky one, toward 1963 and turning up some pretty fascinating things that Coyle and Sharp did this past year. In another few minutes, we'll be doing the Warbler again, which certainly is one of my all-time favorites. And here are some favorites, too. The Live Lighters, Push I.
Every single day you will meet tomorrow the friend you need today. You'll see a song, and there the dust is settled in our tracks. You'll turn around, and you'll see us coming back.
Rashai, rashai, adieu, arrivederci, adios, aloha, aloha, I'll be your name so long.
Rashai, it's really tough to leave you.
Rashai, we wish that you would come along. And we know you'd like to know, we'll sing together a main Mexico. Rashai, rashai, adu, adara, gama, gama, yapo, kayako, yubi, yubi, yubi,
rashai, we're guests at a metal, rashai. So here's to when we meet again.
But I didn't want to say goodbye. It's now 9:14 at KGO.
Seven, Channel 7, where good shows get together.
Next Sunday nights at 10, will be a showcase for the brightest jewels in the fabulous Channel 7 film library. Award-winning stars and award-winning stories. Bright comedies, motion pictures of excellence. Next Sunday night at 10 o'clock, Lawrence Harvey and Simone Signore in Room at the Top. How's that for proof?
Good shows get together on 7, Channel 7. 7.
Alrighty, let us introduce once again Mr. James P. Coyle, a rather unusual bit of talent, who will be presented on the streets to a passerby by Mr. Malcolm Sharp. Coral Sharp on the loose in San Francisco with one of the best of 1963.
This is another in our series, Street Audition. Every day I bring a talented young person onto the streets of San Francisco and audition him before a passerby. Now, today I stopped a gentleman. Your name, sir?
Bob Williamson.
Mr. Williamson, I'd like you to meet the fellow we're going to audition today, Mr. James P. Coyle. He's a warbler.
Mr. Coyle, Mr. Williamson. Good to meet you, Mr. Williamson.
Now, Mr. Williamson, Mr. Coyle will give you a brief rendition of his warbling, and then we... Certainly, Mr. Coyle.
If I could just explain, my type of rendition is not something that people are accustomed to, and it isn't a standard vocal rendition. It is a way of projecting inner musical thoughts that I have, but I don't use a standard method of singing.
I see.
Okay, Mr. Williamson, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Coyle, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here's today's talent, Mr. James P. Coyle, a warbler.
This is called Going On High.
Thank you very much, Mr. Coyle. Now, would you step back, Mr. Coyle, while I get a reaction from this gentleman? Mr. Williamson, and be frank about this, be brutal if that's the case. What did you think of his talent?
Not much.
Why?
Just didn't appeal to me.
Well, what specifically about it didn't appeal to you?
I just don't think there's any talent.
Well, have you heard a warbler before?
No.
I see, and as a warbler, judging him as a warbler rather than just a singer or a normal person, would you say he has talent?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
No.
Did you get any aesthetic feeling at all?
No feeling.
No feeling at all?
Right.
Mr. Coyle, would you step back, please? Now, don't be hurt, Mr. Coyle. This is only the first person we've spoken to today. This gentleman felt that, that your warbling didn't display any talent at all. No, this is just the first person we've spoken to.
What do you mean?
Mr. Williamson?
I didn't care for it. I couldn't understand anything about it, and it didn't seem, it wasn't entertaining or anything like that.
Listen to one more brief rendition.
No, I don't think so. One moment.
Could I speak to you for a moment? Thank you, Mr. Cole. Could I just speak with you for a second, Mr. Williamson? Thank you, Mr. Cole. I have to, what this real situation is, I have to rehabilitate this fellow. He actually, a large, and I know this sounds strange, a large bird, when he was very young, he was with his parents on a trip across country, and in Arizona, a large bird attacked, he was actually in his cradle, a bird attacked him, and he just went at that point. Evidently, the bird was some sort of warbling bird, and he's sort of had this fixation since then. So I just appreciate your good humor. I guess you felt the fellow was kind of insane.
A little something. I don't know what.
Do you really do think... did it come out, or do you think I could pass him off as actually having some sort of talent?
I don't think so.
What is your impression of him?
I think he's a nut.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Would there be any possibility of having him stay with you?
No.
Come to your home or something?
No,
so we can help the fellow out, give him a chance?
No.
He has the bird fixation.
I'm sorry, I can't help him out.
Well, just for one day. Mr. Coyle?
No.
Mr. Coyle, you can go with this gentleman.
I can?
No.
Yes, you said you'd help him out.
I said no.
Please help me. Let me be with you.
I can't do it.
I explained the problem, right?
Huh? Yeah, you explained the problem.
And what was the problem?
I'm an artist.
What was the problem?
Yes.
He's attacked by some bird when he's a little baby.
Right. And wouldn't you want to help somebody like this out?
I'm sorry, but I can't do it.
I'm a reflection of nature. As are you. You should be.
I'm sorry for you. There's places for people like you.
Do you have a bird?
No.
I have a bird.
I don't want a bird.
I have a bird.
I don't want a bird.
I am able to relate to winged creatures.
That's right. You're a bird.
In the sense of my recreation of art. Capable of becoming and relating to human beings.
That's right. You're a bird, Mr. Cole.
I am capable,
right.
Although feathered.
Capable.
Have a bird in your home this weekend, sir.
I don't want a bird.
At a discount price?
I don't want
$11.98 for a pet in your home?
No, I don't want to
provide the cage.
No, thank you.
You will have a bird and a companion. Mr. Coyle, a bird, a companion in your home.
No.
Do you have any pets?
No. No, no any pets.
Mr. Coyle, a bird?
I don't know what he is.
No, would you want Mr. Coyle, the bird?
No.
That's Mr. Coyle, the bird. A very literate bird. The bottom of his cage is always covered with the New York Times. It's 20 minutes after 9 now, and you've just heard another one of the best of CNS on the loose in the year 1963. Of course, this is Moore, the keeper.
This is Ray Tannehill. You know it's fun to ski when you know how. 3 weeks at the YWCA Dry Ski School for Men and Women can teach you how. Call Prospect 5-6500.
Do that. And let a smile be your umbrella. Once upon a time, Bing Crosby made an album with late Bob Scobie, who was a great guy and for a long time was here in San Francisco. This is the way it went.
Once I met a happy little bluebird. I was just as blue as I could be. In a little while, I began to smile when he sang this merry song to me. Just let a smile be your umbrella on a rainy, rainy day. And if your sweetie cries, just tell her that a smile will always pay. Whenever skies are gray, don't worry or fret. A smile will bring the sunshine and you never get wet. So let a smile be your umbrella on a rainy, rainy day. Let a smile be your umbrella on a rainy, rainy day. And if your sweetie cries, just tell her that a smile will always pay. Whenever skies are gray, don't worry or fret. A smile will bring the sunshine and you never get wet. So let a smile be your umbrella. Be your big umbrella.
Speaking as 1963 drags its weary self over the crest of the hill and the bright shiny nose of 1964 appears on the horizon. KGO Radio's parade of celebrities wishes to pass in review in order to wish you and yours the year's very best.
This is Owen Spann.
Hello, baby.
Give me three bills on Burbath and DeForest.
Jim Dunbar here, and I'd like to say the opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KGO, the American Broadcasting Company, or our sponsors.
This is J.P. McCarthy. Now, let me see. What do those darned initials stand for?
This is Ira Blue, and I feel very strongly about this particular issue.
This is Coyle and Sharp. You are a doorknob. You're a doorknob. Admit it.
Well, it should be fairly apparent by now how we feel about you. But overlooking that, may we take this opportunity to wish each and every one of you a... That was last week. Well, I think it breaks down to this. We want you to enjoy yourself. But if it means losing your listenership, please forget it. In closing, please keep your KGO candles burning in your windows. But this year, how about opening the curtains before lighting up? And, oh yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, and oh yeah, Happy New Year from me too. Jim Moore here with Coyle and Sharp on the loose, bringing you the best of 63. And we'll be back right after Richard Clark speaks to you briefly on KGO. KGO with FM, San Francisco, wishing you a happy and prosperous 1964. 29 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock now, and this is Moore with Coyle and Sharp on The Loose, the best of 1963. Well, the man with the beard. Would you care to sing now? Mitch Miller. And the medley that you're bound to recognize. Sounded great there. You sounded great. You're following Mitch's beat just perfectly. 28 minutes before 10 o'clock now at KGO. Hey, when you decide to sell that extra furniture, if you have any, or rent your apartment, or trade that refrigerator cash, just remember that Chronicle want ads reach, help, more readers per dollar than any other Northern California newspaper. You get one line 1 week for only $2, and your Chronicle want ad will reach more than 1 million people each day. A Northern California daily newspaper record. Chronicle Want ads get fast results on anything, from poodle pups to pianos. With this impressive array of facts, of course, it makes sense to sell your extra things with a Chronicle Want ad. Phone Garfield 1-1111, and a helpful ad-taker will write you a successful Chronicle Want ad right now.
I'm J.P. McCarthy. Join me for sports, music, news, Lou Hurley's copter reports, and stories of gorillas that putt. First thing every morning on KGO with FM San Francisco.
I could hardly refuse to do so. All right, sir. Now, what we would like to do is to introduce Coyle and Sharp. And perhaps one of the most memorable episodes of the year 1963.
This is Mal Sharp with another in the series, Job Opportunities. Every day I bring an employer out onto the street and have him offer a San Franciscan an interesting and novel job. Now, I have James P. Coyle with me, our employer of the day, and I just stopped a young man who we're going to offer a job to. Can we have your name, please?
Richard Taylor.
Richard, I am James T. Coyle. I'm very glad to meet you. I have contacted KGO. Am I saying the right thing, Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Yes. I have contacted KGO, and I have offered a job opportunity for somebody in the Bay Area. They brought me out on the street to give you the job opportunity. I operate what is called a heat cellar. And what I am seeking is one person to work in the heat cellar. Would you be willing to do this?
Yes, I think so.
And would you be willing to give up whatever present employment you have?
Yes, I would.
Now, are you at all concerned with the possibility of danger?
Could you explain that a little bit?
Excuse me?
Could you explain that to me?
Yes, certainly. The nature of the job is it's a little unusual. Just like anything else, there are certain risks entailed in it. You would be working down in a pit. In which I have created, through scientific endeavor, I have created intense flame.
Yeah.
And You would have a costume on over your clothing, and you would be going through the flame picking up objects. People throw objects in the flaming pit. You go through. You pick them up. They name the object. You pick them up, and I charge them admission.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested. It's something new and exciting, you know, and I like excitement.
Now, what a costume, by the way, I might mention. I saw a picture. The costume is a red costume. It's a bright red costume. It has leggings and a small little hood-like cap that you wear.
Do you have any personal insurance?
Yes, I have life insurance. My people have it on there.
Yeah. The reason I ask, I had an employee before, and I will tell you this directly and honestly, he was a little careless and incautious. I gave him specific instructions, and he perished. Now, I want you to understand this before we get any further. He did perish.
I understand. Well, mistakes can happen sometime.
Yes, exactly. Now, we would like you to go down into the pit the first day as a symbol of your courage with only part of the costume on. In other words, you would actually have to physically dodge the flames the first day. And then on ensuing days, you'd be able to wear the full costume, which would protect you. But the first day, you wouldn't have the protective costume on.
I'd give it a try.
Now, as I understand it, the death index on this job, they give us a death index regarding the job, is about 98%. In other words, if you took this job, the chance of your actual perishing would be 98% in favor of your perishing.
It's a chance. I like to take chances.
What we're trying to do really is to create a living hell. Have people pay admission. They look down in the pit. They see you down there. The flames are all around you. There will be four maniacs with you, and you've got to control them.
No, wait a minute. I understand that you said four maniacs?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you mean I got to tell them what to do or try to keep them together or something like that?
Yes, exactly. Control them and see that they don't interfere with you, because they will. That's what they're going to try and do.
Uh-huh.
They're fully costumed. They're fully protected, and they're going to be attacking you, and this is part of the attraction.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Have you worked with maniacs before?
No, never.
Have you worked with flame before?
No, not necessarily.
One other aspect on the job sheet. Mr. Coyle noted down that in this cavern where he conducts these flames, where he has these fires, large bats fly through the air. You've seen bats, haven't you? These are very large bats with, I might say, extremely large teeth from the photo I saw. They'll be swooping down over your head sometime. They'll go for the people, probably the maniacs.
Oftentimes they don't.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they just are. They're
just lurking there. Would the bats at all deter you from doing your job?
No, I don't think so. If I had a job to do, I'd try to do it regardless of the bats or anybody else.
Now, I'll explain the situation to start with. I want to be sure you can handle a job. I am paying $46 a week initially. Is this agreeable?
Sounds okay.
And I am offering not only the $46, but during the 12 hours that you'll be down in the pit every day, I will provide nourishment to you. In other words, I will provide one meal during that 12-hour period. Will that be satisfactory?
Sounds okay.
Have you ever consumed bats?
No, I haven't.
Would you look forward to the idea of actually consuming bats?
Eating one?
Yes.
I guess so.
In other words, your lunch, you go down and open up your little brown paper bag that Mr. Coyle had prepared, and inside there would be a bat, and then you would just prepare it down in the flames.
Oh, I had to cook it myself?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Why?
Oh, no, if you could cook it for me, I wouldn't mind eating it, but, you know.
What?
A bat.
Yeah.
But as long as I didn't see it cooking, you know, I think I could devour it.
Have you ever had any experience with snakes, large snakes?
No.
See, the bats actually, they're foes down in this pit. The reason why the bats are there is because there are snakes in the pit. The bats attack the snakes, and the snakes will be curling around your feet as you're trying to handle the maniacs.
I'm not scared of snakes, though.
What?
I'm not scared of snakes.
Are you at all, and be honest, are you at all afraid of the maniacs?
No, not really.
What are you going to do with them if they start attacking you?
Fight them off.
And you'll be using your bare hands, you realize?
Yeah.
And this is what the people pay for.
Uh-huh.
The people who are looking down in the pit pay to see you surrounded by flames, picking up objects that they throw down to you. You'll be attacked by the maniacs and the bats. The snakes will be crawling at your feet. Listen, you understand, this is what the people pay for.
Yeah. Well, They pay to see it. Give them their money's worth.
Now, do you, what I'd like to know is that you fully understand the job and the requirements involved. Now, I am not asking you in any great degree about your experience. Can you, in your own way, recapitulate what I've told you about the job so that we know that you do have an understanding of it?
Yeah, it seems to me you want me to work in some kind of a pit. As you say, you're trying to develop a living air. And in this pit, I wear some sort of a uniform, and there'll be a lot of flames. And I have to work with maniacs and watch out for bats flying around. And I'll get one meal a day. I'll be in there for 12 hours, and I'll have to eat a bat.
And you will take the position?
Yeah, I'd like to try.
How's that for a job description, eh? And the pay is low, too. Coyle and Sharp on the loose in San Francisco, and one of the highlights of 1963.
Once upon a time, there was a boy named Wart.
Wart?
And a magician named Merlin.
Merlin?
When these two got together, they started history to swingin'. At least that's the way it happens in Walt Disney's funniest cartoon motion picture, The Sword in the Stone.
It's now in its second magical week. Walt Disney's enchanting Sword in the Stone at the Paramount Theater San Francisco and the Paramount Theater in Oakland. Here come the Mills Brothers now. In Idaho.
Away beyond the hills of Idaho, where yawning canyons greet the sun.
Minutes before 10 o'clock. You know, if anyone were to ask me to recommend a place for a convention or a group meeting, a place where you wouldn't be bothered by the things you're usually bothered by, and a place which would be beautiful and stimulating, you know what I'd recommend? I'd recommend Highlands Inn, just south of Carmel. It's a really beautiful spot among the pines and the cypress overlooking the blue Pacific. Yeah, it's not too far away, you know. It's far enough to give you that feeling of being away from it all, and yet it's easy to reach by car or by air, Highlands Inn is. And they have great accommodations, magnificent cuisine, the meeting rooms that you need, friendly and efficient service, extra things too, like a heated pool, 6 championship golf courses at your disposal. Every facility of Highlands Inn just designed to make a successful meeting for you. So if it sounds good to you, why don't you phone or write to Highlands Inn, Carmel, California, for full information. In the Bay Area, you can call toll-free to TW3-8424. That's TW3-8424. Time for a flare feature now, and then Coyle and Sharp and I will be back again on KGO.
Flare reports. The new year finds the big dome under which 535...
12 before 10, the KGO time, with a weather forecast for Northern and Central California Fair tomorrow and Friday, except for light rain likely from Eureka and Mount Shasta northward on Friday, and fog in the San Joaquin Valley. In the Bay Area, The low this morning, or tomorrow morning, will be 36 to 46, and tomorrow's high, 50 to 57 degrees, otherwise generally fair. Shall we now check in on Coyle and Sharp once again? If you think that any of the things you've heard so far are way out, listen to this one, one of the best of 1963, and a perfect example of how really preposterous Coyle and Sharp can get when they put their minds to it, which they certainly do here.
Can we have your name, please?
William Lucas.
William, a gentleman has developed a way to exploit the dead, and we want your reaction to this. He takes a deceased person, and he puts a mechanism, a motor mechanism, in the person. As a result of placing the mechanism in the person, he gets movement out of these deceased people. He doesn't claim that he can bring them back to life. It isn't a zombie thing. It isn't any hocus-pocus about the living dead. But he gets movement out of the people, arm, leg movement, and so on. And, of course, not speech. Do you think this is unethical?
Well, no. No, I don't. If he wants to do it, let him do it.
You think it...
accomplish something by it. You never know.
He's going to introduce him here in the city in an unusual manner. He's going to hold a large dance, a ball, in a hotel here in the city, in one of the large ballrooms. He's going to have his people... these people, the dead people, sitting in chairs in the ballroom. There's going to be an orchestra and tuxedos playing. And then he's going to invite about 150 people from the city to come to this dance also. They don't know what the people are like that are there already. Do you think this is unethical?
Well, no, I don't. I've had worse things than that pulled on me.
What do you think the scene would be at this ball? I mean, you understand what would be happening at the ball.
Some people would be afraid, no doubt. They wouldn't like it a bit.
Do you think if you attended the ball, you would know that these people were actually deceased, even though you saw them moving?
No, I wouldn't have. No, I wouldn't think about such a thing.
What do you think you'd see?
Probably see people look alive to me.
And you'd go over and get up with somebody, you'd be waltzing across the floor. Naturally, the people don't have their full vitality. Their eyes are very logy. Actually, they just have very slow body movement. Do you think you'd begin to notice anything when you didn't see too much of a sparkle in their eyes?
Doubtful. Doubtful I would, because I've had some women I thought was dead a lot of times. They ain't spit. So there you are.
So in other words, to you it would be just another ball.
That's it. They're more power to them if they're still living, that's all.
Now, what he intends to do is exploit these people for industrial purposes. He feels that they can be used for various types of manual work. In other words, he's going to take these bodies and through energizing them, he's going to use them for manual work, and the ball is simply a promotional thing for him. Are you opposed to the idea of using them in industry?
No, I don't care.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm a cook.
Would you feel badly if your job as a cook was taken by one of these people?
Well, no, I wouldn't feel bad. They can have mine if they want it.
How would you feel if you were working next to one of them in a kitchen?
Same as I would an ordinary person. Why?
What do you mean, the same as you were?
Well, he don't bother me as long as he does his work. I don't have to do his work. I don't care what it is.
He's over there frying eggs, and you just look over. If he said, hand me a little more butter, you'd hand the dead man the butter, and you wouldn't care as long as you're doing a good job.
As long as I don't have to do his work, mine both. I don't care what they got.
In other words, if he was a good worker, you wouldn't care whether he was dead or alive, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't care.
And do you think if you ran a restaurant and you had a chance of hiring some of these deceased people as cooks, waiters, busboys, and so on, would you do so if you thought they could do the job?
Why not? It'd be good advertisement.
In what way?
It'd bring in people to see them, more business, that's all.
How would you advertise it?
Put on a menu, cook by dead people, or anything. People would go see it, any gimmick, they'll go see it.
Would you say, in summation, you're not opposed to the use of the dead for industrial and business purposes?
Not me. I'm not opposed to it.
And you wouldn't be opposed to using dead people to operate modes of public transportation, buses, trolleys, and so on?
If they can, let them do it. Operate buses, cook, anything, as long as they can pass the test. Let them do it.
And let them compete against live people.
Sure. Why not?
Can we tell you something?
Yeah.
There are no dead people.
Well, I don't care whether they got them or whether they don't. I don't read medical books that much, and they don't care. Don't worry me. When I'm dead, I'm done.
You would, however, be willing to work next to, let's say, another chef who was dead.
Why not?
Why not, indeed? Coyle and Sharp on the loose in San Francisco, another one of the best of 1963. And who put the brakes on? It's 7 minutes before 10 o'clock. Yep. we've done it again. Yes, sir. Coyle and Sharp on the loose in San Francisco. Tonight, looking backward, we brought you the best of 1963. We'll be back again to start 1964 in earnest tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on KGO. Coyle and Sharp on the loose is produced by Peter Scott. And this is Jim Moore saying goodnight until tomorrow, 7 o'clock on KGO.
This is Lou Cook for Bob Grant, Los Angeles, with the latest news from...